All right, so last week we started a new series called Soul Care. Soul Care, and we're talking about our soul health. And I believe this is one of those things that's really important to us as believers. I mean, obviously our relationship with God is the most important thing, us connecting with Him. But within that, you know, a lot of Christians struggle in the Christian walk, and they don't know why. They're not sure what the holdup is going on in their life and why they can't strive and thrive in their relationship with God. And I believe it falls into this area of our soul. And so last week we kind of defined what the soul was. We said that the soul is our thought processes, it's our emotional capacities, it's our passions, it's our will, it's all those intangible things about a human being that we can't quite place. You know, it's where our personality comes from, and all of those things come out of our soul. Our spirit is what connects us with God. That's what comes alive when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we give our lives to Him. Our spirit man comes alive and connects with Him. Our body, you know, in the world, we see people's bodies, and that's how we are here in this world, is because we have a physical body. And so we have a spirit. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And so our body is the part of us that makes us unique from everybody else. And so this is what we're talking about, taking care of our soul. We asked the question, why is soul health important? And we said that if we are not healthy, how are we able to take care of other people who are hurting? And this is where kind of the rubber meets the road here, and that a lot of Christians aren't healthy enough to be able to help somebody else find Jesus. You know, we don't feel like we're in a place to where we can do something like that. And so in this series, we want to talk about how do we get our soul healthy? How do we get that thriving relationship with God to where we feel like we're going in the right direction and that we're growing and we're getting closer to God? And so we ended up last week talking about the good old battle of spirit versus flesh. I love it in the cartoons, you know, where you have like the angel and the demon sitting on your shoulder kind of thing. That, you know, that's kind of what we're dealing with in life, is that, you know, we have our spirit man talking to us, you know, trying to lead us in the right direction, lead us in the ways of God. And then we have our flesh over here that's, you know, still wanting to go back to those sinful desires before we got saved. And so we have this battle within us of good versus evil, spirit versus the flesh. And it's right here in this battleground of where we need to be healthy so that we can be striving in our spirit life to be able to grow closer to God. And I love this quote. And a lot of kind of what came out in this series is because of this quote. And it says, "A soul is healthy to the extent that it maintains a strong connection and receptivity to God." A soul is healthy to the extent that it maintains a strong connection and receptivity to God. So we ended last week asking the question, how do we maintain a healthy soul? And how do we get the strong connection with God? And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about this. How do we get this connection and maintain this healthiness in our lives? And so we're going to talk about that. And actually, I have a graphic that I'm going to be using. If you can go ahead and put that up for me, Ava, and just the blank one for right now. We're going to use this as our guide in this, because we're going to talk about five foundational truths that we need as believers to be healthy. And then from there, we're going to talk about seven pillars of soul health. All right? And so there's a lot of people that have the seven pillars in their life, but they have no foundation under it. And so it crumbles under them. And so, you know, the seven pillars, you know, a lot of times we know this. We talk about this as stuff like, you know, reading scripture and prayer and those kind of things. Things that we know to do. And so our pillars are things that we do, but we need to get the foundation of some other things under us to make the pillars effective in our life. And so we're going to use this graphic the next 3 weeks and add to it each week a little bit at a time, and so we'll have a good foundation and have some pillars in our life so that we can have soul health. Are y'all ready? Okay. Good deal, as long as we're on the same page. All right, so let's begin with the first one. The first foundational truth is that soul care begins and ends with love. Soul care begins and ends with love. I mean, this is so important that Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 22. He was in one of those moments of teaching, and it got to the Q&A session. And so the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin, and all those people, the scholars of the law, thought, hey, let's see if we can catch Jesus and trick him to saying something that's not right. And so they began to ask questions. And one of the questions they came to, we find in verse 36, it says, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" And Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is equally important, to love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." See, everything in Christianity is based on love. I mean, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." The Bible tells us in 1 John that God is love. That's how he's defined as love. And so love is the foundational thing in all of Christianity. I see so many people, so-called Christians, walk around and there's not an ounce of love in them. Have you ever met any of those? I mean, none of them go to church here, but you know, in other places. You know, you've met them out there somewhere in Walmart where, you know, they say they're a Christian, but you don't see any love in that in their life, you know, and it's just like, whew. And love is the biggest foundational truth that we need to have in our lives in order to have a healthy soul. See, I want to break this down a little bit because this is so good. The first thing it says that we need to love the Lord God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. See, that word there is the word agapeo. Y'all didn't know I could speak Greek, right? I'm sure that's exactly how you say it, too. You know it. All right. But it means to have affectionate reverence, prompt obedience, and grateful recognition of benefits received. And so this love that we talk about, there's different loves that the Bible talks about, and I'm not going to dive into all those today. I don't have that kind of time. But there's different kinds of loves in our life. When we talk about, "I love you," you know, in human terms, lots of times that's a conditional love. "I love you because you do good things for me. I love you because you're beautiful. I love you because this or because of that." And when those things don't happen anymore, all of a sudden that love isn't there anymore, right? But that's not the kind of love that this is talking about. This is the agape love. This is the God love in that it's unconditional. See, God's love for us is not based on us. It's based on who God is. See, a lot of times we have this thing in our minds that, you know, when I do good, then God loves me more. But when I sin, God loves me less. But that's not the truth at all. See, God loves you because of who he is, not because of what you do. Thank goodness, right? Because I mess up. I make some bad decisions sometimes. And I thank God that his love is not based on the way I'm acting that day. But it's based on he loves me because he is love. And this is the kind of love that we're talking about, that we need to love God with that same unconditional love that he loves us with. We don't need to love God because he blessed me today. Because, you know, I got that bonus check or I got that good parking spot at Walmart and I don't have to walk all the way out. You know, our love for God needs to be this unconditional love, and it describes it like this, an affectionate reverence. See, there's so many people that don't treat God with reverence anymore or respect anymore. I believe we need to get back to that place to where we are honoring God, where we are respecting God. You know, God is not your homeboy that hangs out with you on Friday night. I mean, he's with you, but we need to have this respect and this awe of who God is. Because I believe when we try to bring God down to our level, then he becomes fallible. And he becomes common to us. And we don't need to make God common in our life. But we need to have this awe and this respect for who God is. We need to have prompt obedience. That's a fun one, right? That'll preach right there. Obey God, obedience. And we need to have grateful recognition. We need to respect, obey, and be thankful for God. And that's how we show our love to God. See, Jesus said it this way. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. See, I love my wife. And she has this rule to where I can't date any other girls. And so, that's not a burden on me. If you love me, you're not going to date anybody else. Okay, I'm good with that. That's the same concept with God. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. It's that kind of thing. It's not an obligation thing, but it's an honor and it's a respect thing because of who God is and what He's done for me. I'm going to obey Him because I know His way is best for me. His thoughts and His ways are better than my thoughts and ways. And so I need to do it God's way and not my way. And this is this love God that we're talking about. I believe that when we love God with this respect and this obedience and thankfulness for what He's done in our lives, that our soul starts to become healthy. Our soul begins to take life in us. Now, the second one in here is talking about is twofold. It says to love your neighbor as yourself. There's actually two commands of love in there. See, if we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, who do we need to love first? We need to love ourselves first. There's so many people in this world that hate themselves. And I hate to see that. As a believer is someone who does not like themselves. They don't love themselves. Because what you're essentially doing is you're hating what God created. Because God created you. He created you unique. He created you just like He wanted you, with the gifts and the talents and the personality and the way you look. He handcrafted you just like He wanted you. And when you hate yourself, then you're hating what God created. When He created you something amazing and beautiful. And so there's this command in here that we need to love ourselves. And we could go into other scriptures and talk about this dynamic. I don't have time today, but you know, when it's talking about, you know, husbands, love your wives, it says that no one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it. And that's the way we need to love our wives. And so within this command of loving other people, how can I love you if I don't love myself? How can I truly give you love if I despise who I am? And so part of having a healthy soul is that we come to the place to where we love and accept who God made us to be. You know, I'm never going to be able to sing like Jack sings over here. Man, I love that song that he sang today and just the expression of worship that came out of his heart. I mean, I can worship like that, but nobody wants to hear it but Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's not the way God made me. And so I don't need to compare myself with Jack because God made Jack like Jack's meant to be and God made me like I was meant to be, and so I need to love me for who God made me to be. And through that, we can begin to love our neighbor as ourselves. See, what it means to love others is to take pleasure in, to prize above other things, to be unwilling to abandon or to do without. See, we were never meant to live the Christian life alone. We need each other. We need people in our lives. And we've got to learn how to love. Because there's a lot of people that have the love God thing down. I love God, I respect God, I obey God. Man, there's this person at work. Whew! Man, it's hard to love him. It's hard to love her. But see, now we're going into this conditional love to where love's based on what that person does instead of who you are. And see, we need to get to this place to where we love people because that's who we are and not because of what they do. Does that make sense? Man, that's tough stuff right there, isn't it? All right, let's move on to the next one. The second foundational truth is we need to connect. We need to connect. Like I said, we were not meant to live this Christian life on our own. No man is an island, nor will we survive if we try to make ourselves an island. But we need each other. Let me tell you something. Trusting people is one of the hardest things in life, isn't it? Trusting people is tough sometimes because people will hurt you. People will stab you in the back. People won't live up to their promises. You know why that is? Because they're not perfect. Right? Why are we expecting perfection out of everybody and not out of ourselves? See, we're okay with it when we don't keep a promise. But when someone else does it to us... Anyway, moving on. Okay. We need connection. Like we read the quote, a soul is healthy to the extent that it maintains a strong connection and receptivity to God. Number one, we've got to be connected with God. That kind of sounds like a no-brainer, right? And I was like, duh. I mean, that's what the whole Christian thing's about, right? But here's the thing. A lot of Christians don't connect with God. We used the example of a cell phone last week. I'm already at 73% on my phone today. We're not very far into the day so far. What would happen if I don't plug this phone in today? It's going to die about 5 o'clock tonight. It's probably about when it's going to die. And so every day, I make sure that I plug this thing in so it's going to work, right? That's what we do. That's just something naturally that we plug that thing in. And see, this works because of the power that is connected. If I never connect it to power, it will never work. And it will become a paperweight. It'll become a brick. It'll be something I can throw at somebody, and it won't matter because it doesn't work, right? And so it's the same thing with our connection with God. Is if we're not plugging into God, we have no strength. We have no power. We have nothing to work with. In John chapter 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He said in verse 5, "Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce my fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone not remaining in this way like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask me anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." See, this is what this is talking about. This remaining, another translation says, to abide in Him. And another one, it says to stay joined to. And so we need to have this idea of like, hey, I need to connect with God every single day. I need to connect with Him. I need to plug into Him. It means to be rooted, to not depart or leave, to be present or to be knit together by Spirit. See, if we're not taking time in our lives to connect to the source, to the power, then as the Scripture says, we're going to wither and we're going to die. And I believe that's why so many Christians are always walking around just dry and defeated and just like, man, this thing is tough. Well, yeah, it's going to be tough if you never connect with your source. If you never tap into that power that God has for you. See, you were never meant to live the Christian life in your own strength anyway. See, God gave us the Holy Spirit. When we were born again, God put the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. The Bible says the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And He quickened my mortal body. What this is talking about, connecting in. We need to abide, we need to remain in Him. We need to plug in. And we'll get that power back on the inside of us every single day. If you're not connecting with God, then you'll never have a healthy soul. Never. And so how do we stay connected? How do we stay connected with God? Here comes the first pillar. All right? So we're building foundation with love and connection so far. And so let's throw up a pillar of something that we can do to maintain a healthy soul. And this one's prayer. Prayer. And I'm amazed that when you ask someone to pray out loud, when you take volunteers, hey, can someone pray for us real quick? Nobody volunteers. What is it about prayer that scares us? What is it about prayer that makes us uncomfortable? See, prayer should be a natural thing. Just comes naturally to us as we're connecting with God. Because prayer is, it's nothing fancy, it's nothing complicated. See, I think people are just so scared that they're going to be judged by their prayer. You know, if they pray out loud that, well, people think I'm stupid, they don't think I'm busy. Man, who cares? Man, it gives me a chance to connect with the Creator, the one who saved me. And so prayer is nothing complicated, it's nothing fancy, it's communicating with God. We communicate every single day, don't we? Every day we talk to somebody. We're communicating, whether it's with our voice, whether it's through body language, we're connecting, we're communicating things all of the time. See, communication is not the problem, but when it comes to prayer, we get weird about it because we're talking to God. I can't see God, I don't know. But prayer is vital in our lives. See, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." See, I think why people get weird about prayer is because they have a prayer actually is. See, so many times we think prayer, you know, we need to bow our head, we need to close our eyes, we need to fold our hands, get on our knees, you know, and people make weird stuff prayer. You know, it's, you know, the common prayers, you know, prayer for food, right? And we before we go to bed. But the Bible tells us that we need to pray continually. In your version of prayer in your head, is that something that you can do continually? See, some people think, I need to get in my prayer closet so I can go pray. Well, no, there's times I'm a long ways away from my prayer closet. You know, if I'm in town and something goes down, I can't run home real quick so I can pray. But we need to have this continual communication with God all of the time. We need to have this constant communication. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. You don't have to pray big words. Just communicate like you communicate, but do it with God. The same way you talk with people. And there's lots of ways you can do this. You can just pray in your own words. Sometimes it's just the cry of your heart. You've had those moments to where it's just like that emergency and you just this prayer comes out of you. I remember when we were, Miranda was pregnant with Owen and we were in the delivery room and everything was going good, but all of a sudden his heart rate began to drop. And it was these moments, every contraction, his heart rate would just drop. And the doctor looked at us and says, if this doesn't stop, we're going to have to go into surgery and do a C-section. And the cry of my heart came out in that. It wasn't a fancy prayer. But the cry of my heart in that moment was, healthy baby, no C-section. And I just kept praying that, healthy baby, no C-section. Healthy baby, no C-section. And sometimes that's all you can pray is just a few words. But God honors that. See, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. And you know what? We had a healthy baby with no C-section too. And sometimes there's just groans that you can pray. I mean, you know, I've seen this when maybe someone's lost a loved one and there's just that so much pain and all you can do is just go, oh. Man, that's a prayer. God's listening. See, prayer is nothing fancy. It's nothing crazy. It's just communicating with God. You can do written prayers. Prayers written by other people. I'm going through a book right now called Praying Through the Names of God. And because it's going back in the Old Testament and seeing these old names like El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, and all of these names that we find throughout the Old Testament and throughout the Bible, and he's putting prayers to these different names of God. And it's so enriching to be able to just pray those things. We can pray the Lord's Prayer. Whatever it is, we need to have that connection with God through prayer. Let's go on to the second pillar of how to connect with God, and this is through Scripture. Through Scripture. We've got to be getting in the Scripture, because that's where the source of our power comes from. It's the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. When it connects with God's Word, when those two things come together, it is powerful. It's explosive. And we need to be constantly getting God's Word into us somehow, some way. Whether it be sitting down with your Bible and reading, whether it's going through a devotional, whether it's through, man, if you got YouVersion on your phone, that dude will read it to you. Driving down the road, I mean, it'll read it to you. I mean, there's really no excuse of why we're not getting into God's Word. It is thoroughly available to us. See, 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. I love that thing. That's what God's Word is for. It shows us the right way, and it convicts of the things that we're doing wrong. Has ever been reading the Bible and all of a sudden it's just like, oop. You know, you just have the moment of conviction in your life.